Har du et enkeltpersonforetak eller en liten bedrift? Da du sikkert lei av å høre meg snakke om hvor enkelt det med kvitteringer og bilag i fiken. Så vi gir oss her, fordi vi liker enkelt. Fiken. Superenkelt regnskap.
Grunn nummer 39. 50% priskutt på bleier med æ.
Hos Rema 1000 satser vi alt på å gi deg Norges roeste bleiekutt. 50% priskutt på alle bleiestørrelser og typer. Alt fra Pampers og Libro til Level. Maks 5 pakker med priskutt per handletur. Bare husk å aktivere kuttet i æ-appen.
Rema 1000. Alltid lave priser.
Welcome back to the Radical Broccoli podcast. It's Susie back in the studio with another solo episode this week, and I want to start by saying thank you so much for the feedback on last week's episode. I love to hear from you, and it was interesting to see how many people resonated with perfectionism and pushing ourselves hard and setting these wildly unrealistic expectations for ourselves and like setting ourselves up for failure. And I hope it gave you valuable insight to start changing how you see yourself and your value. So if you haven't listened to that one yet, check it out. And hi, how are you doing today? I am curious to how this eclipse season and this wild astrological month of April has been treating you. I only recently discovered that all of these astrological aspects are happening in April, and I've felt it. It's kind of fun to feel and experience life and then look kind of back on what's happening astrologically, and often it makes a lot of sense why we feel the way we feel. For example, on Monday this week we had a new moon in Aries and we had a solar eclipse, and it was said to be the most intense day of the year, and I felt it. I felt incredibly flat in my feelings, in my thoughts. I only described it as feeling like a pancake emotionally, physically, mentally. I felt drained and I had a headache. I was a bit nauseous, tired. I just felt this intense pressure in my head. And at first I didn't remember that this was this big astrological day, and I think that's good, because sometimes we can tend to take these events and kind of place a certain expectation of it being a bad or intense day, and then it becomes it because we create it. But if we look at it the opposite way, we're like, oh, okay, it can give us a little bit of comfort or explanation to what's going on. And I had a chat with my sister and I was like, oh. No, actually, she just called me and she was like, I'm picking up on your energy over here, and I just need to remind you that it's one of the most intense days of the year in the cosmos. And I was so grateful for that reminder, because I don't know about you, but my mind tends to change according to my mood. And my thoughts change. And when I feel flat like that, I feel uninspired. I feel like things aren't working out. It feels like, you know, these negative thoughts keep coming in, that what I'm doing doesn't matter, or isn't good enough, or why bother? And yeah, I just wanted to give up on everything. So what I decided to do was to actually follow my own insight that I've shared before, which relates to how every day of the week has a different energy. You've probably heard about this. If you haven't, it's really cool. I love it as just a fun little game. And Mondays, they are also known as moon days, and that moon day also was a new moon day. So if we want to play with the universe, we can. And moon day is said to be an amazing day to actually take a step back and not like go fully into task mode and doing everything like we usually do on Mondays, or I sometimes do on Mondays, definitely programmed to Monday being like, okay, let's go log on, get a bunch of stuff done. It's the start of the week. But that's actually only like a cultural thing. It's like a programming, to put it like that, and something that we can decondition. And especially when you run a business for yourself, like I do, it's not necessary to follow any timelines or any set ways of doing things. So I reminded myself of that, that I have the freedom to do what I want, when I want to. And I took myself to a spa date. My baby was in daycare. And I was like, you know what? If I'm going to sit here and try and do stuff in this negative energy, in this draggy feeling, I don't feel good. I'm just going to feel worse the more I kind of pressure it. I might as well just let go and refresh. And so I went to the spa near my house, which has a steam bath and a sauna and a pool. And it also has my favorite thing, the cold bucket. And to my pleasant surprise, it was absolutely empty. I had the whole area to myself. And I was just like, oh, thank you, self, for taking me here. Thank you for showing myself that I'm worthy of relaxation, of treating myself well, especially as a new mother. It's so easy to just stretch and stretch and stretch and do and do and keep serving and keep pushing myself. But these acts of self-care, they really show ourselves what we are worth. And that's what I felt like. And in addition, I was like thinking how this eclipse season literally feels like that cold bucket. So it's a bucket that you pull a string and then a bunch of cold water hits your face. And it is equally refreshing and a little bit uncomfortable at the same time. But it made me wake up and it actually helped some of the headache, some of the things I was feeling in the body. So water, just such a big helper, such a big healer, a resource that if you have close, use it. And now we can use the ocean, we can use a local bath, or we can use the shower at home or the bathtub at home. And I know for myself, every time I take a shower, every time I take a bath, I feel better. So that's like something that we forget about as this amazing tool that we have. Even these yogi gurus, they say that you cleanse your whole energetic field when you take a shower. And maybe we need a little more help during this astrological season. So how I have experienced this eclipse and other similar periods in astrology is that the darkness often brings up our shadows or unhealed triggers or patterns that we haven't fully let go of, and stuff that is really ripe and wants to be looked at and let go for our transition, for our up-leveling. Because naturally, how the universe works is that we are constantly expanding, no matter if we're trying to or not. We're always growing, shifting, our cells are changing, everything is renewing all the time, just like nature. And if we work with nature in this way, that we can view astrology also as nature or the universe, we can use these periods to have an inward look, to allow what comes up to come up, instead of feeling like buried in emotions and triggers and discomfort, like it's normal to do. And I know that I have done myself, and a lot of friends and people that I've spoken with have just felt totally under the weather. Even lots of people have gotten sick. Babies are feeling it, kids are feeling it, so many like appointments that have been cancelled. And it's also Mercury in retrograde. So I don't know if you've noticed, but it's been, to me at least, crazy with like technical errors. Even my computer, sadly, has yeah, I don't know if it has retired fully, but it's definitely gone on a long-term holiday. And yeah, a lot of stuff is going on with technology. Even communication can be disrupted. And we can freak out about that. We can read up on like, oh, what does it mean? It must be bad and horrible and scary. Or we can put it to our benefit and actually use it, which is the cool part. It's cool after the triggers have gone and we start integrating. So if we can manage to, it's a great time to slow down a little bit, take a breath, take a space, take a breather, and actually spend a little bit of time in silence. And I'm not talking on going on a silence retreat or taking a weekend off or anything like that. If you do that, that's amazing. But how I do it in my day-to-day is, for example, just taking half an hour, like I did today, beautiful, sunny, warm day, sat outside in a chair and didn't bring my phone, didn't bring anything, just sat there, not with any strong intention of doing anything, but that's when my mind starts to process and to have these realizations and to sort through emotions, experiences, and thoughts. And that's when I gain a lot of clarity, when I give myself the time to do that. So if you have the opportunity and also the courage, because we need to be able to look at what's coming up, it's an amazing time to have some self-reflection, to maybe write down what are the main triggers that have come up for you recently, and what are these cycles that are going on repeat. I know for me, there are the same programs that come up every time, and I'm like, oh, haven't I healed this yet? But then apparently I haven't, and I'm going to deal with that. And it's not like we're supposed to be this trigger-free, like, again, it's not perfectionism. It's not that we need to heal everything, that we're always healing or we're always working on something, but it can be nice to deal with the triggers that come up. And the other day I was de-weeding in the garden. And as the kind of nerdy thinker that I am, I kept thinking over and over again about how these weeds, when I pick them, it's a little bit annoying when I don't manage to take them by the root, because I know they're going to grow out again in a few weeks, days, months, and they're going to be maybe equally as strong. On the contrary, when I manage to take the weeds out by the roots, it feels so good. It feels so complete and like my job is done. And I know that that's not going to grow back again because the root is gone. And so this is how it is also with our programming or our negative thought cycles. When we manage to really get to the root, take it out by the root and release it, we won't see it regrow or reappear like instantly or soon after again. But when we don't take it by the root, then it's just going to come back and back and back. And both are fine, just to put it like that. I bet there are so many programs or triggers or wounds that you have already healed and let go of in your life without overthinking or overdoing, just naturally as a part of the rhythm of life, that you don't even think about now, because when we integrate something new, then we don't even think about it anymore. We just forget. So it's only the things that are in front of us that we're seeing, that we can feel, that's triggering. They will remind us that, okay, we would like you to look at this. So in this intense period, I know it can also affect our sleep. Some of us may be feeling like sleeping worse, or even like sleep, full moon sleep that I call it, when we feel a bit like electrical at night or almost half awake, half asleep. And so, yeah, know that all of these things are happening with a lot of people, but maybe not those around you are talking about it, then just know that this is really common right now and treat yourself with care. So yesterday, I want to share with you a very special experience that I had in the Radical Broccoli membership. So yesterday was time for one of our members to hold a session. And this was a very special session held by Sarah. She's a medical doctor. She's Norwegian. She has attended our membership and our retreat. She's been in the membership since the very beginning. And she's an incredibly inspiring and amazing person. And yesterday she held a session on shame and how to let go of shame inside the membership. And I originally didn't have time to listen into the session because I was alone with my little boy during bedtime. And then I tried to like put everything away to just be present. But yesterday it felt quite important to be there for the session. And I decided, okay, I'm going to just put Sarah on the ear while I'm doing bedtime and bath time and just see how we go. And Sarah dove deep into the topic of shame, vulnerability, and she really explained in depth the emotion, shame, how we experience shame, how it's one of the emotions that we have the most difficult time dealing with. And we've talked about this before in the podcast, like shame is this, it wants to lay a carpet, a rug over everything and never talk about things again, never wants to look at things. And we discussed anonymously which topics that our members felt most shameful about. And it popped up answers like my eating disorder, the number of sexual partners I've had, my career, money, my friendships, my body, my appearance, and just seeing those topics being mentioned, even anonymously, it felt to me incredibly like a big reminder of the real life that's going on, like behind social media, what is actually going on in our lives, in people's lives, in my clients' life, in my friends' lives, in my own life, is these deep, vulnerable, painful, shameful aspects that we, because of the intensity of shame, that we don't like to talk about. And I wanted to give a big shout out to Sarah because she brought up this topic and this way of explaining shame and how to deal with shame in such a beautiful way. And she explained how empathy is the biggest antidote to shame. And I highly suggest that you go and follow her on Instagram, or if you're in Norway and she's going to hold more speeches, then please go and check her out. And it inspired me. It inspired me a lot to keep on being real, keep on authenticity, keep on sharing, and keep on talking about these things that really matter in our lives instead of contributing to this glossy facade on Instagram and social media that just makes other people feel worse, actually. I think it's so interesting with social media. It's so incredibly triggering and so incredibly inspiring at the same time. And I keep drifting in and out of how I feel about it. Sometimes I feel like I'm comparing myself to the whole world and I feel so tiny and so insignificant and like I haven't done anything. And other times I feel like, wow, this is a portal of expansion, of creation, of connection with a community that I never would have met without social media. And it's an amazing teacher, put it like that. And especially to me, it's an amazing teacher, a painful teacher, because inside of me, inside my identity, my ego, my thoughts, my feelings, I have a big, big, big fear that's coming back and back again, which is the fear of being seen. And I feel, even just saying this, shame wrapping around it, wanting me to not even talk about this, to not say such a stupid thing, or like, you know, all of these negative thoughts that the ego wants to say. But inspired by Sarah, I want to say it anyway, because if I feel like this, I'm sure more people can resonate. And it's so interesting for me to have this fear, and also my soul to have chosen the type of life that I have chosen, and the path and the passions and the kind of trajectory that I have in my life, which I feel so connected to. It feels so right to be doing what I'm doing. Well, at the same time, it feels so incredibly challenging. And some days I just want to get a normal job, quote unquote, log off the internet, not have any opinions, and not be seen, not be heard, not, you know, it's such an ironic thing to have a podcast and a big platform online and a community when I feel like this. But the thing is that I can also see through this, to know that this isn't the truth. So I know that the truth isn't that I'm not supposed to be seen or heard. I know that the truth for me is that I have to go through this. Not try and go under it, not try and go over, around, avoid, not pull back, not regret, but actually plant my feet deep into the ground, root myself, ground myself in my own worth, in my own power, in my own voice, and dare to share who I am and stand for it. And this is deeply connected to people pleasing, to me wanting to never, ever offend anyone. I would say that I am incredibly aware, hyper aware almost, of how other people feel, to a degree that is super unhealthy for me at times, where I can almost, before I know someone, I can, or like early in a conversation with someone, I could just assume that they don't like me already. And I will look and analyze for proof of that. And I will find proof of that. And then I will use that to put myself down and think that, oh, of course they don't like me because X, Y, Z, because I'm annoying, or because, yeah. And this is how my mind works sometimes, like fueling my own self-doubt, my own insecurities, through finding proof in the real world. And I keep doing this also with, for example, in times where I feel really like I want to shrink and be invisible, it shows in the freaking numbers of podcast listeners, of followers, of people who view my story or our story on Radical Broccoli. And that reinforces my fear. I use it to tell myself like, oh, but you don't even matter anyway, so you might as well just disappear. And I can laugh about this because I see it partly from the outside, even though it really, really hurts sometimes, and it gets me down and makes me exhausted and makes me feel like I'm putting in all this work for nothing. But at the same time, it fuels me, because I know that I can feel differently about this. And how do I know that? It's because I've shifted huge patterns like this before. And it's like changing the world. When we change something deep rooted in us like this, we change the way that it shows up in the world. We just attract differently. We are on a different frequency when we're not, when I'm not an energetic match to this pattern anymore, it's not going to come back in my life as proof. So, yeah. It's one of those things that make me probably, like, after recording this episode, even just like combined with my perfectionism, like I talked about last week, I want to make sure that the episode is good enough by listening to it once again. While in contrast, my sister, one of my big teachers in life, we've definitely chosen this path together for many reasons, but this is one of them, is not a perfectionist at all. And she's amazing at what she does, but she would just record, put it out there, not bother too much about the title or the description, not like check up and listen to it. Well, I'm the total opposite. And so we can learn to meet halfway. And that is something that I'm definitely on my way of learning now, is to let go a little, to let go of the importance of things. And in periods, I'm great at it. In periods, I feel like, you know what? I don't care about what anyone thinks of me, or if they look at me, or if I'm online. And then other periods, like this eclipse season, everything comes up to the surface and I just want to be sat under a rock. So I'm curious to hear from you listening, whether you have this in your life, whether you have this fear of being seen. And it doesn't, I mean, it shows up differently for everyone. This was a topic in my life way before I had this platform, but then it would show more up in, for example, discomfort in speaking in front of a group, or even feeling uncomfortable just being in group settings. Because if someone, or if I suddenly got all the attention, I just had this feeling that I just wanted to escape. And this happened a lot in school when I was younger. If we had presentations that I felt like were, specifically where I had to share something of myself, or I was put in this situation where I felt vulnerable, or where I didn't feel as confident, then I just so badly was like hoping and wishing that I would be sick, or that something would be changed or be canceled. And it could get really bad at times. And it's at the core a fear of being judged, for sure. A fear of someone not agreeing with what I'm saying or doing, and people pleasing in the sense of, you know, people pleasing is like, you always want everyone to be happy with you, to agree with you, because that feels safe. It feels safe in your nervous system. It feels safe in the sense of being part of a community. You feel like you're protected. You're not putting yourself in danger. And it's a natural feeling, but it can go too far, like everything can when it goes too far. And then on the contrary, being seen, having an opinion, putting yourself out there, being outspoken, having opinions that conflict with other people's opinions, it can feel so dangerous, like life-threatening. And it's also because of our ancestry, of what have happened in earlier times. Like, we are all always connected to the lineage before us, to our grandparents, to grandparents before that, to hundreds and hundreds of years back. We know that being opinionated has been dangerous at times. People have been killed. People have been burnt, especially women, witches have been burnt. And it has been dangerous to speak up, but now, in this day, in this time, I know in my brain that this isn't dangerous. But yes, I will risk that some people will disagree and even dislike me. And I have to learn to deal with that and accept that. And the beauty of it is that the more we dare to be us, the more we dare to share the one that is actually like inside of us, our originality, our uniqueness, our true self, we will magnetize and connect with and attract other people who vibe with that, who love that, who agree with that. And so I guess part of that fear also goes for fear of disconnection. But what I forget in that, or what we tend to forget experiencing that, is that we also risk, quote unquote, a deeper sense of connection than we've ever had. And so sometimes we only look at the fears, we only look at the triggers, but we don't look at the actual benefits of, for example, stepping into being seen. The benefits outweigh the risks by insane amounts, but that's not what our brain tells us when we're in the fear. So this is my big reminder to myself, to all of you who feel this fear, who have these people-pleasing tendencies, who fear that being the most you that you are and sharing that is dangerous or scary. I'm right here with you, stepping through this, walking through this with courage, showing up every day. And I'm not going to let this get me down. One thing I have decided is that I'm going to go through this. I'm going to feel all the fears, feel all the emotions. So I thought before I end this episode that I would share with you how I'm dealing with, for example, something like the fear of being seen. So as I just mentioned, and I always say and remind myself and my clients, and is the importance of noticing, being aware and feeling our emotions. So when this program of fear of being seen gets triggered for me, it can spark feeling insignificant, of feeling worthless, of feeling sadness, grief, disappointment, just upset, and just a lot of, shame, and a lot of emotions that we associate with being negative, being heavy, being painful. And so I know that part of the medicine is to feel these, to go through them. So I take time, I sit down, I name them. Trying to describe an emotion is incredibly healing. To myself, I write down, I describe how it feels like. I can even talk out loud because that's almost like having a therapy session. And then doing that, these emotions usually appear in my body physically. Sometimes if we manage to connect, maybe tears will come through, maybe goosebumps, maybe anger, frustration, irritation. And then the purpose is to allow the body to process it through movement. And the body is super wise, so just allow it to do exactly what it needs to do. Movement can just be, crying, or movement can be punching in a pillow, angry, or shouting, or shaking, dancing it off, however you want to do it. And you will be amazed to see how quickly something passes when we invite it in. Instead of resisting it, invite, and invite it to become stronger, stronger, stronger than it ever has, and then let it go. So that is one part of how I go through it. Another really important aspect is that I never act out of that fear. I'm not going to say never, but I try not to act out of that fear. So the fear would tell me, for example, never to share this on the podcast, but then the medicine for me is to do the opposite, which is sharing, which is creating connection with people, with you guys, and also hearing your stories is also incredibly healing. And so I try my very best to show up, to act in the way that I know that my heart knows, my higher self, and the version of me that isn't in the trigger and in the pain. But it's not always that I reach there. And some days it's just best to not pressure yourself, not try and do anything, change anything, and not put yourself in the spot, just to relax and let go. But other days it's time to show up regardless. And the thing that my sister, sometimes also my mentor, my coach, reminded me that I put on a sticky note here, is that none of this is meant to be super complicated. We don't have to change. We don't have to really do a lot of stuff to change who we are, or to get new clothes, or to change our appearance, or become better or more beautiful or smarter or wiser or more outspoken. We just need to dare to be ourselves. As cliche as it sounds, the biggest truth of them all is that that's what we're meant to do, meant to be, just the person that we are. And to have the courage to share who we are with those around us. So, yeah. I feel this so strongly, taking one step at a time and, yeah, allowing it to unfold and to see what magical wisdom is going to come out of it on the other side. So take care of yourselves during this time and always, and see where you're at, whether you're in the investigative mode, in the wanting to hide, in the need for relaxation. Just really tend to yourself and tune in, and know that it's all fine. It's all good. And it's all happening for our highest growth and evolution, and for us to connect with really the true version of us. So, with lots of love, talk to you in the next episode.
Moderne media.
Grunn nummer 39. 50% priskutt på bleier med æ.
Hos Rema 1000 satser vi alt på å gi deg Norges råeste bleiekutt. 50% priskutt på alle bleiestørrelser og typer. Alt fra Pampers og Libro til Level. Maks 5 pakker med priskutt per handletur. Bare husk å aktivere kuttet i æ-appen.
Rema 1000. Alltid lave priser.